Today is that wonderful feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. And, he is the angelic doctor. He is it is said of him that before the greatest mind, unaided by supernatural grace, was Aristotle. The greatest mind with the aid of supernatural grace was St. Thomas Aquinas. You're talking literally one of the smartest people ever who has ever walked the earth. And that is St. Thomas Aquinas. He revolutionized the very thinking of the church, the reasoning process that people who are Catholic use, and that we use his mode of study and of argument and of reason to defend our faith all the way to this day. And he wrote so many wonderful works and so many books and had so many profound things to do with the church. That's what he's often known by, is that very fact of how brilliant a man he was. But to be brilliant is not enough. To be brilliant is to say that St. Thomas was brilliant is to sell him so far short. The brilliancy of the man covers the Thomas part, covers the Thomas of Aquinas part. But his virtue, that is what makes him a saint. That is what makes him the angelic doctor, his virtue. You see, that part of St. Thomas's life so often gets overlooked and overshadowed by all the wonderful works that he did. First, he wouldn't have been able to do all those great works without his own sanctity, because, like we said at the beginning, his was a mind aided by supernatural grace. But also with that, that's what got him to heaven. And for us, that's what we focus on in our lives. Some of us will be very bright. Some of us will not be the greatest minds in the world, but each of us can save our souls. Each of us can get to heaven. And St. Thomas shows us that. A couple snippets from his life to show the extreme virtue of the man. We see in his purity a stark example of how virtuous he truly was. During the time when he was trying to enter the Dominican order, his family was starkly against it. They did not want him to enter the Dominicans. They thought it beneath him. He came from a noble family, and they wanted him to fulfill their family name with what they thought was honorable, not join this new order that was just founded of people who went around begging for the very food that they ate. But St. Thomas was dead set upon that. And through his perseverance, he eventually was able to enter there. We'll talk about that in a second. But his family had locked him up in a tower to try to get him to change his mind. They imprisoned him in their own home. And while there, they went as far as sending a woman of ill repute, to his room to tempt him to sin. That was the purpose. If they could get him to sin, then maybe he wouldn't enter this foolish, he'll give up this foolish idea of entering the order. And his purity, his love for that purity was so strong that not only did he rebuke the woman, but he actually grabbed a poker that was sitting in the fire, and the end of it was glowing hot orange, and chased her from the room with it, because he did not want in any way to be tempted, even into the slightest bit of sin. And we talked about before as well that virtue of fortitude that he had in the faith, because his family did lock him in the tower, and it wasn't just for a short period of time. He was locked in there for a year, where he was not allowed to leave. And his own family members would come to them. And yet he was always prayerful in that, and always suffering well in those times of darkness that he was in there, and suffering for love of Christ and suffering for what he knew to be God's will in his life. He knew that God would come out on top. He knew he would persevere through it. And he trusted in that grace that God gave him, that fortitude for it. So much so, and so much did that radiate out from his countenance, that his two sisters had been sent in to try to convince him to give up his idea of the monastery. And when they came out of the room, they both were convinced that it was their vocation in life to join the Dominicans as religious sisters. That's how strong his fortitude was, that it radiated out even to others. And eventually he did win. He did, was allowed to finally leave the tower and join the prestigious order of the Dominicans. And later in life, we see what he did with that. We see all these great works that he's put out, but underlying all of it, supporting it all up, in the end was his humility, his virtue here, which we think of ourselves. You know, how often do we do things that we, you know, we're proud that we did it? You know, I say we work on a project in our house, and you know, perhaps we, you know, we're trying to redo something, and we finish it up, and we think, oh, gee whiz, that looks great. You know, thank you. You know, I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that. Or I put some time and effort into my test, and I study really hard, and I get an A on it. And then I go around to the people that I know, my friends or my siblings, and say, look what I got an A, ha ha, I did really well. And, you know, all these things that come to us that we feel proud of, we have this air of, look what I did. I want people to say, hey, good job. Hey, way to go. You did something great. But it feels nice. St. Thomas never had that. When he was studying there, and he was learning under the great, this great saint, St. Albert the Great, and along with St. Bonaventure, and several other classmates, as he was studying all these deep things of theology, he was getting it, and he was understanding it in a very profound way, as we would see by his later works. But what did they call him? They called him the dumb ox. Why? Because he almost never spoke. He almost never said anything. He just listened. Because of that, they thought that he was stupid. They thought he was not intelligent. And St. Albert the Great prophesies in that of just how great a mind he would be in the church. Later on, they call him the dumb ox, but they would see that they were wrong. And in his humility, when he was dying, speaking of all of his works, you know, they were trying to get him to finish one last, to write something else. They were trying to get him to I can't remember if it was to finish a writing or if it was to write a new thing. And, you know, and he was getting older and knew his time was coming closer to an end. And at that point, he had made it up in his mind he was never going to write again. And when asked why he wouldn't write this piece, he said, why? Because all that I have written is nothing, is like straw. It's nothing for the eyes of God. You know, he knew the greatness of God, and he knew how, even in his own, you know, sharp mind and his own skills that he had received, he knew how small in comparison it was. He had a true humility. He had a desire to please God and please God alone. And if that meant just retiring in quiet and solitude of prayer to get himself ready for death, then he was perfectly fine with that. And that's what he did. And so when we have such a great man before us, a great doctor of the church, we're often tempted to think of the things that he's done, that we see that he has done. But remember, always in those people, that it's the greatest thing that they do is the actions that are seen by God alone. And the same goes for us. The greatest things we can do are the things we do on our knees, the things that we do in our silent acts of charity, the things that we do purely out of love and devotion to God. That's what brings us to heaven. That's what will make us a saint. And no matter what else happens in our lives, no matter what else we do or don't do in our days, if we save our soul, nothing else matters. That is the greatest lesson we can learn from today's saints and Thomas Aquinas. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.